Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Please be seated. I've been on two larger properties this week, and when I drove up, the owners were outside and working. They greeted me and said, "Yes, I'm getting ready for the plantation tours." At first, that surprised me because it's February, and the tours, of course, are not until the end of March, 6 weeks from now. But also made me aware how much effort goes into getting homes and properties in shape all over Georgetown and Georgetown County for this outreach event. And I also thought, how generous of these owners to be generous for God's purposes. I believe we could use this analogy for something else. We could call Lent getting in shape now for the grand event later. My friend called it practicing for eternity. In other words, tasks and chores now, preparing for this very special spring celebration, the plantation tours, that honors the Lord and lets us be used by the Lord. Now, here's the analogy. We are reminded today by the ashes of our mortality, we each will die sooner or later. But we are also reminded that dying is merely the prelude to a grand celebration. Reunion and communion with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, our loved ones. Reunion and communion with our Lord Jesus and our Father who made us. In the meantime, it's good to do some housekeeping and cleaning up. Cleaning up of our lives as we prepare ourselves for life eternal and life abundant. Lent comes around every year, just like the plantation tours, in order for us to do some chores and do some housekeeping. Sometimes, some seasons of Lent, we need to do a little bit of work. Sometimes we need to let go of something. Sometimes we need to practice a spiritual discipline. Sometimes we need to add another spiritual habit to our lives that we hope will continue even beyond Lent. Sometimes we need to use Lent for addressing the plank in our eye. This is how Jesus speaks of it. This is just beyond our gospel reading today that Gary read. Jesus says this, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your sister, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's or sister's eye." That is so true. We like to ignore or deny the plank in our own eye. The truth is, getting older does not mean we are necessarily getting better or getting healthy. Any one of us can get into a deep rut, an unhealthy rut, and never climb out of it. Some days ago, Lent came early for me. Something way back in the past loomed large in my life still. In fact, I decided I needed to go to confession, to make a confession, because I was sorrowful about something I had done over an extended period of time. I had amended my way of life, and now I wanted to formally ask God for his forgiveness and his absolution. My long-term confessor is deceased, my beloved brother, Rick Belser, and I had not been to confession for a while. Sometimes it's easier to go to a person who is not really very close to you or whom you don't see very often because the embarrassment and shame is something one would rather share with a person you just bump into occasionally, not every day. But the Lord made it pretty clear that Gary Beeson was the person I should go to for this confession. Here's the funny part. What's coming? I lined it up and scheduled an appointment with Gary a few weeks out. As the day drew near, I began thinking, this really is unnecessary. These events were a long time ago. I rationalized, and I don't need to be so dramatic about going to confession. I told Gary on a Monday after staff meeting that I was probably going to cancel our appointment. He simply left the door open either way. So the very next morning, I'm picking up the book of Psalms, which I'm reading daily, 3 or 4 Psalms a day. I'm picking up where I left off. The very next morning after I told Gary I was probably going to cancel, the next Psalm for me to read is Psalm 32. You have it in your hands today. I had no recollection what this Psalm was about until I began reading it. I could not help but begin laughing at myself and my evasions and denial. You have it there in front of you as an Ash Wednesday handout in 2 different translations, 2 because both of them are provocative. Perhaps you'll take them home and ponder them for your own lives as well. Even the titles are provocative, but also good news. From the English Standard Version, the title in the Bible, "Blessed are the Forgiven." And from the Message, Psalm 32, title, "Count Yourself Lucky." So let me make reference to a few of these verses. Imagine me sitting down in a quiet space in my home and beginning to read. "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." I'm doing okay so far. Then verse 3, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." Then progress. "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Look at verse 8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." That's the Lord speaking to one of his children, speaking to me that morning. "Be not like a horse or a mule, Michael, without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle." Verse 10, the second half. "Steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in..." I love to use his actual name. The Lord is all caps. It means it's translating the word Yahweh. The name Moses received as his personal name, the Father, Yahweh. "Be glad in Yahweh and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." I called Gary to reconfirm my appointment for confession. What did I just say back a ways in this reflection tonight? We like to ignore or deny the plank in our own eye. I said the truth is getting older does not mean we are necessarily getting better or getting healthy. And I said any one of us can get in a deep rut, an unhealthy rut, and never climb out of it. Sometimes, some seasons of Lent, we need to do, as I said earlier, a little bit of work. Sometimes we need to let go of something. Sometimes we need to practice a spiritual discipline. Sometimes we need to add another good spiritual habit to our lives. Sometimes, we need to use Lent, 40 days, for addressing the plank, the beam in our eye. 40 days to effect a transformation. I believe this is what Isaiah and Paul in 2 Corinthians are getting at in these fairly ponderous readings. Isaiah writing in the 58th chapters, "Is such the fast that I choose? a day for a person to humble himself? A day, just let's get this over with. Is it to bow down his head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? No, see, Isaiah is saying, the Lord is saying, you must go deeper than that. You must plow deeper. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Think of the oppressed and the yoke that bind us as well, not just those out there. And when we are enabled to do that and plow deep, verse 8, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians, he builds those verses to a climax and then says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's not just changed a bit. He's not just better. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. He's talking about depth and richness. These prophets are urging transformation by dealing with planks. When I was a very young priest, just out of seminary, we had a significant weekend event during Lent one year at St. Thaddeus Aiken. And this gentleman's heart was obviously pricked. I'd gotten to know him some and liked him a whole lot and liked his wife a whole lot. And he asked me if he could come and make his confession. Well, I was really still wet behind the ears as a priest, and I think it may have been the first confession I ever heard. So I had to just get ready for it, you know, and all that. But he came, and he spoke of something that had happened decades ago. He was a Vietnam War veteran. He was a happily married man to a wonderful wife, as I said, wonderful woman. But back in Vietnam, he confessed to me with tears in his eyes that he had been unfaithful to his wife. And he had carried that for at least 15 years, weighing down on him something he would never tell anybody and had never told anybody. And on that day, he brought it to the Lord for confession and asked for absolution. That genuine acknowledgement, that genuine contrition for what had happened, tremendous regret, and that desire he made years before to amend his life. But he also wanted to get right with God by bringing it right out from the light into the, out from the darkness into the light. It was a very moving conversation and encounter. Near the end of our conversation, in fact, we discussed whether, as part of his confession, he needed to get the slate wiped clean with his wife. Did he need to tell his wife all this that had happened way back? And I really believe the Lord spoke to both of us. We had a consensus. No, that would not do any good at all. It was something that had happened. It had happened long ago. He had made confession. It would only hurt his wife more. And perhaps part of his penance was he would carry that knowledge of that through the rest of his life, but not to burden his wife and deal with that. There may be different circumstances, but for that time, that seemed like just the right thing to do. And we both, even weeks later, knew really that that was the right way to handle that situation. And he was born again. So I'm simply moved to ask this Ash Wednesday, like me, is this a year when you are supposed to tackle the elephant in the living room of your heart? Are you supposed to acknowledge the plank in your eye and use the 40 days for owning it for godly contrition and to ask God to come with his Holy Spirit to enable you to radically amend your life, your behavior, your unhealthy relational games? Here's another way to get at this. Ask yourself, is there a lot of drama in your life? Is there a lot of drama in your relationships with those closest to you? Drama is the antithesis of God's peace. God did not create us to live in the chaos of drama. It robs us of his joy and peace. If there is a lot of drama around you, if there is, The question to ask God to answer is, are you part of the problem? Or are you the source of all the drama all around you? You know, they say we all carry two buckets to the fire, and one has gasoline in one bucket, and the other bucket has water. And the question is, do we pour gasoline on fires rather than water to put fires out in our relationships? Don't you want to invite Jesus and his peace into these situations and circumstances? Please know, this can be a generational thing that has been passed down from generation to generation. If a child grew up in a home with a lot of drama, that has become normative, and that child will create drama in their adult life. Sometimes that generational cycle needs to be broken. My friend Don in Spartanburg said to me one day, Michael, he called me Michael, I grew up in chaos, another word for drama. If things are quiet and calm around me, he just stirred the pot in a vestry meeting, and I was speaking to him about it the next day. If things are quiet and calm around me, I create chaos to feel comfortable. Don was owning the plank in his own eye, because Don was on a journey towards wholeness within his family and within his church family relationships. I was so proud of him owning that. People who feed on drama also will involve more and more others in the drama, because there is a neediness there that only God can heal. I hesitated to do this, but here is a definition of drama from Google. Do y'all ever do that? This is the definition from Google. The root cause of drama is often a deep-seated need to manage underlying anxiety, insecurity, or boredom by seeking attention, power, or emotional intensity. It acts as a defense mechanism or coping strategy, often stemming from childhood to avoid facing deeper, uncomfortable truths or to control volatile interpersonal relationships. Drama fills voids caused by loneliness, lack of excitement, or need for validation, attention seeking. Lent has already been very big for me. Lent has come early. But I want to ask each of you, is this the Lent to tackle the elephant in your heart as I have? Is this the Lent to name the plank in your own eye? Is this the Lent to ask God to help you be healed like the crippled and blind people that Jesus enabled to walk and to see? Do you see why confession is sometimes a necessity? We have to name it and own it. We have to bring it from the darkness and out into the light. And then we have to offer it, asking God to remove it from us. If we don't have peace in our hearts, then we cannot speak peace into a situation. Now, Jesus speaks of those baptized in the life of Christ as those who are like streams of living water flowing from them. Living water is a great biblical definition imagine most of the water in Israel is stale water in stale pools, and they're happy to have that in an arid land. But living water is water that bubbles and burbles down through a mountain, you know, like a mountain stream, and is cool and refreshing. And Jesus is at a feast in Jerusalem where living water is celebrated. And Jesus, on that last day, we're told, the great day, stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water," peace and joy. Verse 39, "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive." Paul has spoken to us today. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed, the new has come. We've been invited and encouraged from these readings not to be like water bugs, just staying on the surface of our lives and not really penetrating our lives, but letting the Lord, letting His Spirit, letting our own heart desire to be changed and transformed to penetrate to the depths. The 40 days of Lent is upon us to enable us to do some soul searching and some soul work. Let us begin. Amen.